Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect presence cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Now the chorus, this is the day, and after we sing it through the first time, you can greet one another. All right, we'll sing it through once and then start greeting one another. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Greet one another.
This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that
sounded good this morning. Amen. You know, in a way, I'm glad summer's over and we're going back to school and settling down. Looks like church attendance is better. Some of you play a lot during the summer, you know, and it's good to have you back. It's good to have Iola with us after not feeling well. It's good to have Doris Lynch with us. We haven't seen her in a while, and we're just glad that you're here. I'm going to dismiss the worship team at this time, and we're going to go to the sermon this morning, and then we're going to sing after the sermon again. So if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 44. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. And I decided to get away from the Giants message today because, you know, those are some tough messages, and they've been hitting me hard. So I know they have to hit you hard, and I'm still working on one giant, and then I got another one that I'm facing. And you know, not even David fought the Giants week after week in a row like that. They're spread out over his lifetime. So I thought we'd take a break from the Giants today. I want to talk to you about a subject that has meant a lot to me in the last few months, and I trust it to be a blessing to you as well. It's called The Treasure is in a Field. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Now, in Matthew chapter 13, there are a number of kingdom of heaven parables, and this is one of them. And if you have your Bibles open, let's read it together this morning. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You may be seated. I want you to listen very carefully to what I have to say this morning, because I'm going to tell you the main cause for divorce in our country. I'm going to tell you the main cause for church splits and church problems. I'm going to tell you the main cause of broken friendships in our country, in our church, and in our nation. I'm going to tell you why sometimes there are even strained relationships in families. So I want you to listen very closely to me. I have no desire this morning to preach a great sermon. That's not my desire today. I just have a tremendous desire to be of help to you in the area of relationships. And so I'd like to read again the words of our text, and I'd like you to listen even closer this time. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field." I want you to notice, first of all, that word "hid." If something is hid, you have to look for it, don't you? You have to go and you have to find it. You've got to look for it, and if you notice in this verse, it's in a field. Something is hid, the treasure is hid, but the treasure is hid in a field. You've got to go to a field and look for a treasure. "The which when a man hath found, he hideth." So he finds this treasure, he hides the treasure back in the field, and then for joy, because he's found a treasure in the field, because of that joy that it brought him, "therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." So a man is out looking one day, and the man comes upon a field, and as he's walking through the field, he finds a treasure there. He takes that treasure, and he digs a hole, and he hides it in that field. He realizes that if there is one treasure there, there are probably many more treasures there. And so he goes and sells all that he has, gets all the money that he can liquidate, and he comes and he buys that field. The title of the message this morning, "The Treasure is in the Field." And if I could have your attention through this entire sermon, I promise you I can help your marriage. I promise you I can help you with your relationship with your friends, because it's a very important message. Here is a treasure, the Bible says, found in a field. A man searches and he finds that treasure. No doubt, because I found this treasure, there must be more treasure. And so he goes out and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Now suddenly, he finds out some things. He finds out some things. He finds out what he has bought. You know, I can't imagine buying a piece of property without really looking over it. But, you know, some people do. And this man, he's bought the treasure. He's bought the field. And now when he begins to walk in the field, he discovers what is really there. He finds out what he has bought. He finds out that there's some weeds in his field. He finds out that there are some tree stumps in his field. He finds out that there are spiders and all kinds of creepy crawly things in his field. He might find that there's even a skunk in his field. He might find mice and rats. Somebody might have been out to his field and poured garbage all over the field. There might be, as incredible as this might sound, there might be snakes in his field. There might be some poison ivy on that field. There might be a possum. There might be raccoons. There might be lizards in the field. He has bought all of this because he wants the treasure. Are you listening? Are you with me this morning? He wants the treasure. Now let's suppose that the man starts to dig for his treasure and all of a sudden he sees a lizard scampering across that field. Or he just about steps on a mouse. Or he's about to dig and he looks and then over to his right there is a patch of poison ivy there in this field. He owns this field now. He's bought this field. Maybe he smells the skunk. What does he do? Disgustedly, he forsakes the treasure because he sees the negative. He forsakes the treasure because he sees the negative. And he goes over to another field. Maybe he goes to another field and he buys another field, a different field. The fellow buys that field. He goes to dig out there for some treasure. He goes to work in his new field. What does he find there? He finds more things like the first field, doesn't he? He finds poison ivy. He finds nettles. He finds skunks. He finds garbage. He finds a snake wiggling. And he says, that's when I'm leaving, and I'm never coming back to this field again. Hang the treasure. Forget the treasure. But he sees a few weeds and some rocks, and so he's gone. He leaves the field. In this scenario, we see most of us, if not all of us. Let me illustrate. Many times we are not willing to take what we don't want to get what we do want. Let me say that. We're not willing to take what we don't want to get what we do want. But the treasure is in the field. The treasure is not in any museum. The treasure is not in a bank. The treasure is in the field. To get to that treasure, you have to get stung by a few wasps. You might get bit by a few mosquitoes. You might have to smell the odor of a skunk. You may have to run from a raccoon, or you may have to stumble over some garbage. But you have to be willing to accept the negative in order to get the treasure. You have to be willing to accept some negative things, some bad things in order to get the treasure. Let me bring this home this morning. You have a friend. What a treasure that friend is. You come across somebody, you're enraptured with this friend. He appears to be nearly faultless. But then as you get to know that friend, what happens? You start to see a few weeds in his life, don't you? You start to see a few negatives, a few faults in his life. So what do many people do? They turn away from the treasure. And by the way, all friends have weeds. You'll never find a friend that is perfect. You'll never find a friend that does not have some weeds and some faults. All friends have negatives. What we do so often when we see someone that we have become friends with and we like him or her, they intrigue us, we start a friendship, but when you grow closer to them, you start to see a few warts. I don't care who the person is, the closer you get to them, you will see a few warts. You will see a few negatives. You'll see some things in their life that you don't like, that you don't agree with. All of a sudden, it's like we wake up and we see that our friend is not perfect. So we turn from them like we would poison ivy or a nettle or a skunk. And we break up with our friend and we get mad at our friend. In some cases, we don't speak to our friend. We like him until we find out that he is a field. And then we go and we seek a new friend. We find out that the new friend has some mice in his field. And there's some rats and there's some garbage and there's some weeds there too. And we go on from friend to friend looking for that perfect friend. Do you know what? All of us have negatives. We don't become friends with somebody until we see that they are imperfect. Oh, and by the way, you better look at yourself, because in your field there are some things that are negative as well too. And if your friend begins to look too closely at you, they will see some faults in your life. All friends have fields and rats and mice and nettles and weeds. So don't be too hard on somebody else, because you might find a little mouse scurrying across your own field. We find a church. What a treasure. Remember the first time you came to this church? You looked at the positive. But after a while, even in our church, you see some weeds. You see a little mouse scurrying across the field somewhere. Or maybe you see some garbage in somebody's life. And so what do? We won't take the field with the treasures. But friends, there is no treasure without the field. There is no treasure without the field. There is none. The fellow said, I have found treasure. There is other treasure in the field. I'm going to go buy this field. And I'll put up with the scurrying mice, and I'm going to put up with the obnoxious odor of the skunk, and I'll put up with the little garbage here, because there is treasure here. And I want you to know that there is treasure here. There is treasure in this church. I'm not preaching this morning because somebody's left the church. I don't believe anybody has. I'm just trying to help you this morning. All of us are human, including the man you're looking at right now. And by the way, I have a field too. My wife knows my faults. Those of you who've got to know me know my faults. You know that there's weeds in my life. I may say something in a sermon that you don't agree with. What do? Do you leave the whole treasure, or are you willing to put up with the nettles? Are you willing to put up with the weeds and the garbage because of what else you find in the field? You find guys one day, those of you guys that are married, you found a girl. And you said, she is the will of God for my life. And you begin to court her. And you don't see any single weed. You know how they say that? Love is blind. You don't see any negatives in their life. You don't see any weeds. You don't see any little mouse scurrying across the field. You don't see any garbage in her field. And so you marry her. And then you discover, oh, she wasn't perfect after all. She does have some faults. She does have some weeds in her life, and she does have some garbage. And sometimes people say, I don't want that. I'm not willing to put up with the negative to keep the treasure. Guys, there is not a woman in the world who doesn't have a field. There is none. And by the way, there are lots of treasures there. And there may be people here this morning, you're having problems in your marriages, and the reason is because you found out that the person you married has a field. But to get the treasure, you have to put up with the field. So what do some people do? They divorce their gal. They divorce their wife, and they go looking for somebody else who they think won't have a field. And then they marry this girl, and they see all the garbage in her life, and not only do they see skunks, they smell the skunk. And they're worse off than they were before. Instead of lizards, she has snakes. Instead of weeds, she has poison ivy. And so what do? You find that she has a field. Now listen to me very carefully. What do? I don't care who you are. If you got any sense at all, you're going to put up with the treasure that you find in the field. Because as I look out across this congregation this morning, I see women who are treasures. I look across, guys, I look at your wives this morning, I see treasures sitting next to you. I see treasures in our congregation. You are married to good women. Most of you have women that love God. They love the Bible. They love their children. They're not perfect. They have a field. They have weeds. They might have possums running around. But there is a treasure there. There's a treasure in their life. What a treasure. Girls, ladies, you found a man. Wow, what a treasure. He's a dreamboat. He's always what I dreamed of. But you get married and the dream boat begins to sink. This is your knight in shining armor. The one that will romance me and sweep me off my feet, and the one that I will live happily ever after with, and will never have an argument, will never have a disagreement. And then you discover that your knight in shining armor has begun to rust. And there are weeds in his field. Before you know it, you're just concentrating on the weeds. Ladies, there's a treasure in godly men, faithful men, hardworking men. They love you and they deserve your respect and they deserve your loyalty. Don't give up the treasure just because you found a field. Don't give it up. We choose church leaders. You chose me as a pastor. We choose deacons. We appoint Sunday school teachers, lots of leaders around here. These leaders come in, the reception is wonderful. Exactly what we're looking for in a pastor or a teacher, worship leader, what have you. And then we find out that they're human. You'll find out that sometimes the things that we do, we're trying to do what's right and just, but we sometimes make mistakes. Sometimes I'll do things that you disagree with me. And we have leaders that do things that you might disagree with them. The tendency is to get rid of the treasure because you don't like to put up with the negative. You don't like to put up with the faults. Look at the men in the Bible. Look at the leaders the Bible presents for us. Moses was a great treasure, but he had a field. He was hot-tempered. Paul was a great treasure, but he had a field. He took a Jewish vow one time that he shouldn't have done. Peter was a great treasure, the leader of all the apostles, the leader of that early church, their spokesman, but he was so impetuous. Am I going to give up the apostle Peter because he was impetuous when he was, after all, though, he was given the power to preach so that 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost? Am I going to give up Noah because he found out that he was human in one instance? Would he need enough faith in God to build an ark to keep them from drowning when there had never been a drop of rain to fall on the face of the earth? Am I going to give up on Moses, the meekest man that ever lived and greatest leader that ever walked on the face of the earth because every once in a while he would lose his temper? Moses has a treasure, but he also has a field. David has a treasure, but he also has a field. Noah has a treasure, but he also has a field. Jacob has a treasure, but he also has a field. Samson had a treasure, but he also had a field. John Mark had a treasure, but he also had a field. James and John had tremendous treasure, but they also had a field. Teenagers, look at your parents today. There is treasure there, but there is a field. Your parents are not perfect, but I know your parents. They love you and they want what's best for you. That's all they really want. Your mother entered into the jaws of death to give you life. Your mother also keeps your house clean. Your mother also washes your clothes. Your mother also cooks your meals. Either that or McDonald's does. Sure, your mother is not perfect, but there is a treasure inside of that mother, and every single one of you should be grateful if you have a godly mother. If you have a godly mother that is in church with you this morning, you should praise God. You should thank God for her. You should overlook the faults and look at the treasure that you have. You have dads that work hard to support you and to protect you. Yeah, your dad isn't perfect. Your dad might be stubborn. Your dad might lose his temper sometimes. He has a field. And you might see that mouse scurrying across the field sometime. You may see weeds growing in his field sometimes, but he puts bread on the table that you eat with his hard work and toil. He feeds you and clothes you and makes the house payment. Don't give up on the treasure because you see a weed or two. It's a sad thing when we are not willing to take the negative to get to the positive. We're like the fellow who says, I know there is a treasure here, but I don't want it because I don't want to get into any weeds. I don't want any lizards crossing my path. I don't want to go out there. I might be bitten by a spider. So I'll go to another field, maybe that has fewer weeds, fewer spiders, but no treasure. I've been here for 11 years, 11 and a half. Some of you have been around from the beginning. I know you pretty well. You know me pretty well. I know you pretty well. I also know that there are weeds in your fields. But you know what? I love you because I think that you are a great treasure. I look at all the churches in the area. This is not because I pastor this church, but there is not a church in this area that I would feel comfortable going to except for this church. Because I feel that you are a treasure. Every single one of you is a treasure. Do you have weeds in your life? Yes, you do. Let's be honest. Yes, you do. Do I have weeds in my life? Do I have faults in my life? Yes, I do. My family would be the first to say amen to that. But I look at you this morning and I see a treasure that has been hid in the field, and I'm not throwing it all away. I'm not throwing the whole field away. Treasure in everything, because there are a few weeds and maybe some garbage and even some skunks. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. Parents as well, you have a treasure in your children. I'll tell you, if you've got children that honor you and obey you and respect you, you've got more than most people have today. You have a treasure in your children. Are there weeds in our children's lives? Yes, there are. And there are a lot of stumps that need pulling out. There's a lot of work to raising godly children nowadays. A lot of work. But you know, they are a treasure. And the Bible says that they are a reward. And the Bible says that they are a blessing. And sometimes our children, they frustrate us, so we'd like to get so angry with them that we'd like to throw away the treasure. Because we don't like the weeds and we just like to get rid of the field. We have to change our mentality today about children. Our society does. Children are not a curse, children are a blessing. Now I want to encourage you this morning. You go to that person you've fallen out with because you once found a treasure in the field and you make it right with them. Go to the person you have been criticizing. By the way, consider this. You never criticize somebody that you didn't like enough to get closer to. You never criticize anybody that you didn't like, that you didn't have a certain amount of like for. Because you've gotten close to them, and that's why you're knowledgeable about their faults and you can criticize them. You never criticize somebody that you didn't like enough to get closer to. And you got closer to them and you saw their field. And you saw a weed or you saw a mouse. Go to that person and tell them, I believe your friendship is important to me. I want to make it right with you. I want to have our friendship restored. I want the treasure, and I'm willing to put up with the weeds. You go to your wife this morning, men, the one that you've been doing nothing but pointing out her mistakes to her. You realize that at one time you saw a treasure in her. There was a time when you felt like she was the most precious thing on the face of this earth. And by the way, she still is the same woman that you married. You go home today and you look at her in the eye and you say, sweetheart, I'm sorry. I've been looking at the weeds instead of the treasure, and I want you to know that you are a treasure. Ladies, you go home to that husband with whom you've been disenchanted. You look at him and say to him, I'm afraid that I've been looking at the field instead of the treasure. Let me just take a few minutes and tell you about the one who has no field. Let me tell you about the one across whose path and whose life never ran a rat or a mouse. Let me tell you about the one who never did know what it was like to have a weed in his field. Let me tell you about the one who every time you dig, you find treasure. There is only one person like that. That one is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I point you today to him who is faultless. He was the Lamb of God. He was the unblemished Lamb. He was the perfect Lamb. He paid for your sins. He paid for your debts on the cross of Calvary. And he offers you eternal life if you will simply trust him as your Savior. He is a treasure that I am presenting you this morning. If you take this treasure, you will not find a weed in his field at all. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is there to meet your intimate need. He desires to have a relationship with you. You will not find any garbage in Christianity. Oh, you might find it in those who profess to be Christ. Yes, you'll find weeds in their life, but I point you to the one who has no weeds, who has no faults, and wants to be your Savior and Lord. This fellow says, "Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." I don't care what your field looks like, he says. I don't care how many thorns are there. I don't care how many wild animals are there. If you come to me, I will receive you. I'll forgive you. And I'll bring you into the family of God. In conclusion, don't you just love those two words? In conclusion. That's the favorite part of the sermon for some people. The fellow gets digging and digging and digging. He's out in his field now. He's digging. There's got to be more treasure there. He's digging. He's digging. Along comes a little spider. Bites him on the wrist. He's digging. He's digging. Oh, here comes a mosquito. Don't you hate those mosquitoes? Itch for weeks afterwards. He's digging. Here comes a little snake scurrying by at his feet. He's digging. He's digging. All of a sudden, he smells the smell of a skunk that had just sprayed. What does he do? Does he give up digging? Does he throw away the treasure because he doesn't want to put up with the negative? Or does he continue to dig looking for more treasure? Your relationships are like that. You can say, "I don't want to put up with the negative," and go try to find another relationship. Or you can just keep digging and digging and digging until you find more treasure. In all of your lives, there is more treasure yet to be discovered. You and I can have the privilege of digging out that treasure in other people's lives. Let me just say that in every human relationship there is treasure, but there is also a field. Now it's up to you. Spend your life complaining about the field or rejoicing because of the treasure. It's totally up to you. Have your head bowed and your eyes closed this morning. You're thinking about somebody this morning. You're thinking maybe about a few people this morning. And you're thinking about the field. When you bought it, you didn't know all that stuff was in the field. You only saw the treasure. But if I could encourage you today, don't focus on the field, but focus on the treasure. Focus on that reason why you had that relationship with that person. Focus on the treasure. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands right now this morning, but I want you to answer this question to yourself. Have you been looking at the field? Or have you been looking at the treasure? And if there is somebody that you need to make things right with, I pray that you would do that as soon as possible. Because they're worth it this morning. They're worth it. They are a treasure. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I have not found the greatest treasure. I have not found Jesus Christ. I have not received Him as my Lord and Savior. I've not received this treasure. The Bible says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. You've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You've never accepted this great treasure. But you'd like to be able to do that today. You'd like to do that today. The one who is perfect. The one who has no weeds. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. He found no fault because there was no fault in Him. No fault whatsoever. If you're here today and you say, just by raising your hand, you would be saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive the greatest of all treasures. I want to receive Jesus Christ and start a relationship with Him. Could I see your hands this morning? Is there one? Is there one? Is there anybody? Could I just say this? Once you have found the great treasure that Jesus Christ is, there is no field in Him. But, you know, the Christian life sometimes is difficult. And it's difficult because there are trials that we go through in life. And life itself is in some ways like a field. And the Christian walk is like a field. We have stumps in our own life. We have weeds. And the Lord comes and He wants to take those stumps out. He wants to pull those weeds. And sometimes it hurts. And it's not easy. Don't ever turn your back on Christ. Don't ever turn your back on Christianity. Remember the treasure that you have in Jesus. Don't be willing to sell the treasure because you don't want to put up with the negative. It would be one of the foolish things you could ever, ever do. Don't ever throw away Christ. Don't ever throw away your relationship with Him. But I would just encourage you to nourish and cherish that relationship. And as you get to know Jesus Christ, you will find out that He is the ultimate prize. He is the ultimate treasure. There are more treasures to be discovered the more you get to know Him. The more you dig into His life and in His Word, the greater treasure you will find. So my encouragement to you today is just keep digging. Keep digging, keep looking. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ loved us so much that He bought us. That He bought into this field. And He went and gave all. He gave His life so that He might purchase our redemption. He might purchase our salvation. Thank You for doing that, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be able to restore broken relationships in our lives. I pray, Lord, that You would strengthen every marriage as we begin to do this, as we begin to look at the treasure and not the field. Pray, Lord, that all of our relationships would grow stronger as we find treasure in one another. Help us, Lord, to overlook transgression, to overlook it when it's really not all that important, that we might be able to rejoice and praise in one another. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all. Seeking You as I my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
One time through as a round, we'll have this side. You can follow me. We'll start out and then follow the worship team for the second part of the round. Right?
Worthy is your name.
great.
231. We used to sing this in the old hymnal. There was a line underneath on the chorus. We used to sing, "It is mine." Used to sing, "This priceless treasure ever." If you know that part, why don't you sing it today?
That's abiding peace in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my doubts and fears away. Though I cannot tell you how. It is mine, this priceless treasure ever. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, precious treasure ever. Blessed be his name. In me a sweet and perfect rest. In my raptured heart I can feel it now. Each passing moment makes me safe and blessed. Was the joy of my heart and brow. It is mine, this priceless treasure ever. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, this priceless treasure ever. Blessed be his name. Mine for all eternity. His love is mine, yes, his love is mine. Waves of joy and gladness o'er my spirit roll, filling me with life divine. It is mine, his priceless treasure ever. Blessed be his name, he has given his perfect peace to me. It is mine, his priceless treasure ever. Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. It is mine, his priceless treasure.
One visitor with us today, the lady who brought Doris. Thank you. Is it Julie? Julie. Thank you, Julie, for bringing Doris and for coming and visiting with us today. Doris is so sweet. Every once in a while, we'll just get a phone call. Just want to say I love you. That's about all she says. Just want to say I love you, and we appreciate her very much. Great encouragement. Brother Rex Mond, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Bob.